We're going to start this morning with talking about the return of our schools, and there are a number of issues that are affecting many of you out there. Notably, I suppose, over the last couple of weeks, there has been a bit of a scramble to get confirmation of places on school buses returning this year. And as of this morning, there are children that are still waiting to hear if they'll have a seat on the bus for the upcoming school term, as there's been unprecedented numbers of new applications for the upcoming school year. Many other pupils have had their requests for a place on school transport rejected after a surge in demand since the government announced it was waiving fees for 1 year under measures to alleviate the cost of living crisis. With me on the line to talk about this and other issues is the Minister for Education and Kerry TD, Norma Foley. Minister, good morning to you.
Good morning, Gerry.
What can you tell me about where things stand now? I know it's a moving number over the days to try and get as many tickets out as possible, but there still are students in this county who still don't know whether they have a place or not.
Well, Gerry, if I could just say at the outset, and you've referenced it yourself, you know, today is a very big day. This is a very big week for, you know, the return to school of 1 million students, 100,000 staff and 4,000 schools. And I think it's important that we'd acknowledge it's return to school in a very different environment to the environment that we've had in the previous 2 years. And, you know, I've met with Professor Breda Smith, the CMO, you know, in terms of COVID, and just to say that our schools are well prepared. We are, as she has said, now moved into a new period of living with COVID, and, you know, all the, you know, I suppose restrictions that were imposed previously are not in place now on the basis of the public health advice. But, you know, we still maintain in our schools, you know, enhanced cleaning and PPE and provision, and, you know, we provide resources of more than 50 million for that. But just to welcome, you know, our school communities back and to wish them well for the year ahead. Specifically in terms of the issues around school transport, you are correct, as a cost of living measure, we did announce that there would be the waiving of fees for school transport for those who are eligible. And at the outset, it's important to say there is an eligibility criteria. That is, you know, students who live more than 3.2 kilometres from their nearest school at primary level are eligible, and students who live more than 4.8 kilometres from their nearest or next nearest school at post-primary school are eligible. Now, this time last year, 103,000 tickets were issued to students. At this point, more than 115,000 tickets have been issued to students who are eligible and have applied on time. So we have put in place additional capacity of more than 10,000 at this point. There will be even more capacity as time moves on. I will acknowledge that, you know, there is a, you know, an incredible body of work involved in this. There has been an unprecedented application by families, but I have met with the CEO of Bus Air and Stephen Kent. I have made it very clear that I want the maximum availability of spaces and buses to be provided for. And, you know, on average, Bus Air are issuing more than 6,000 tickets a day to meet the demands, and we will continue to do that. But there are challenges around availability of, you know, buses and bus operators.
Drivers and private operators as well is an issue. With that in mind, was it a miscalculation to make the announcement that prompted these 44,000 extra people to apply and put pressure and cause some people who had bus tickets now not with them?
Well, I think in the first instance, there has been a very positive and broad welcome for this measure by families and indeed across the political spectrum. It is a considerable saving for families. For some, a saving of €500, for others, €650. It's a considerable saving, and it was a necessary measure, I think, at this point. It is important to say that there has always been an eligibility criteria, and where there was additional capacity after those who have fulfilled the eligibility criteria, then concessionary tickets were made available. And that will be the case, and is the case again this year, where there is a, you know, additional capacity on buses, where those who are eligible have taken up seats, and where there's additional capacity, that will be made available to those who are termed concessionary. I think, you know, it's significant to say we've had such high numbers. There's absolutely no doubt about that. It's also important in the interest of balance to say we have made significant additional capacity available at this point, more than 10,000, and there will be more come on stream. I think, you know, this measure has been welcomed by families, but no doubt in the short term, in term until, you know, all buses have been provided for, I absolutely accept there's, you know, an inconvenience to families. But in the long term, this is a positive measure for so many families.
This is an issue rising out of the cost of living crisis in an attempt to try and meet that. There's a cost of living crisis affecting teachers as well in terms of being able to afford to go to work and maybe even try and cross-reference it with the housing crisis, afford to try and live close to their school. We're seeing issues where teachers can't and principals can't get teachers to take up jobs because it's just too expensive to transport to or to live close to where, and maybe it's a more urban scenario than others. But what's your response to the situation that teachers are under severe pressure and that there is pressure now in the housing issue is causing this retention recruitment crisis for some schools?
Look, I do absolutely accept that there are significant challenges and difficulties for staff in schools. It's not unique, I suppose, to the education sector. It's, you know, across all sectors. I absolutely accept the difficulty and challenges that are there. And, you know, it is for that reason that, you know, the provision of housing, if you like, is the single biggest focus of this government. And considerable work has been put in place by Minister Dara O'Brien, a whole suite of measures in terms of, you know, social housing, affordable housing, cost rental, shared equity schemes. You know, we have seen more than 28,000 commencements already over the past, you know, 12 months in terms of housing. And for example, in Kerry, we can point also to significant developments in terms of housing. You know, from the local authority's point of view alone, more than 174 local authority houses have been built and come on stream in 2022. But notwithstanding that, I accept that, you know, that there are, you know, the challenges for staff. But, you know, equally to say, in terms of provision of staff, we have 4,000 newly qualified teachers coming on stream this year. We have more than 1,250 third and fourth year students have registered with the Teaching Council. We have, you know, made that provision available where, you know, the student teachers will be available for work in our schools. Mm. The substitution panels, which have been a particularly successful, I suppose, innovation for our primary schools. They have been extended. These all offer full-time contracts to teachers. We've more than 142 panels across
If it does get worse, Minister, if I can just say, notwithstanding all of that, it does get worse, will you look at acquiescing to the call of some of the unions that you need to speed up or accelerate the process by which somebody gets a permanent post? That can't be 4 or 5 years, should be a shorter time frame.
Well, I think, to be fair, you know, we have put considerable measures, you know, in place in our schools in terms of, you know, supporting teachers. You know, the starting salary for teachers is in around, 38,000 euro. That does compare very favourably with, you know, other jurisdictions. And as I say, you know, the challenges that are there presently, and I don't for 1 minute underestimate the challenges that are being experienced by all staff within school communities, but you know, we are in a unique situation in terms of cost of living challenges. You know, much of it is impacted by, I suppose, the unprecedented experience of war in Europe, something that we had thought and hoped we would never see. So there are many external factors impacting, you know, cost of living and how we're living. And as I say all of that, I don't take away from the stresses that it places on people, but government is mindful of that, and it's for that reason a number of measures have already been introduced in terms of cost of living, whether it's, you know, the cut in taxes on petrol and diesel, the €200 energy credit, specifically the back to school measures that were introduced in terms, as I've already referenced, the waiving of school transport, but also the back to school clothing and footwear allowance, which has been increased by €100 per child, so €385 being available to each child aged 12 years and over. So
and we'll see what happens with that, but you're also trying to address the issue of overcrowding in Irish classrooms. Almost 1 in 8 pupils at primary schools in Ireland were in oversized classes last year, despite the average class size falling to their slowest level in quite some time. More than 3,100 primary schools around the country show 1 in 3, a total of 1,055, at least one overcrowded class. So there is an issue there that I know improvements are being made in the overall picture, but we still have, you know, well above the EU average of 20. There's, you know, 9,100 children in classes below the EU average of 20.
Well, just in relation to that, I absolutely recognise the challenges. I've been minister for just over 2 years now, and in each of the two budgets, I have successfully reduced the pupil-teacher ratio, so that now we can say this September it's at an historic low for the first time ever in this country. The pupil-teacher ratio is at a rate of 1 to 24, so for every 24 pupils there will be one teacher distributed into the school. That's very positive, and I did similar in the previous budget. It is a commitment for government to look at that. So you know, in the round when the school is looking at its staffing, it means for every 24 pupils they have, they will have one teacher. It's ultimately at the discretion of the schools then how they distribute that staff. But, you know, there is the potential, as you've acknowledged yourself there, you know, where you would have a larger class with, you know, 30 students, and there is the potential that there are smaller classes of, you know, of 18 in another class in the school. But it is a continuous job of work. It is has been a priority for me in the last two budgets. I will obviously be looking at everything again as we go into this budget. And, you know, everything is on the table, as it were, in terms of the budget in the coming weeks.
Okay. Minister, can I ask you on a separate issue? It is related to what we were talking to in relation to teaching and teachers, the housing crisis that we're facing at the moment. A large project in Killarney rejected planning permission on Friday, 228 units on the Port Road, underlying, I suppose, the need or the difficulty sometimes in delivering those houses. But we got figures on Friday. More than 10,500 people registered as homeless in Ireland, the highest figure since the previous peak in October 2019. Notwithstanding what you said about all the different schemes, are you now prepared to admit that this isn't working, that what the government isn't doing isn't having the effect that's designed, the plan isn't right, because those figures, as one example, are going in the wrong direction?
Well, again, you know, as I've already acknowledged at the outset, there is absolutely no doubt that there are significant challenges in the area of housing, and it is a singular focus of government. And I have, you know, the significant funding has been put in place by government. You know, 4 billion euro annually has now been committed in terms of housing. We have seen, and we are coming from a base where there was no building, you know, happening, particularly, you know, at local county level, at local authority level. And, you know, I made the point earlier to you, we've already this year seen 174 houses come on stream at Kerry County Council level in 2022. Yeah. That's in comparison to 59 social houses being built in 2019. So we are seeing, you know, significant improvement. It is not, yeah, you know, there is no
we're
one
not
measure.
Seeing,
that
we're not seeing those figures that peaked 2019 going down since then back up to 10,500. That doesn't include direct provision, Ukrainian refugees, women in refuge centres or rough sleepers. So that figure is just people in emergency accommodation. And unfortunately, it's now going back in the wrong direction again. You add that together, like take Killarney or Dingle or any of the tourist hotspots in this county. Majority short-term lets. Young people can't get rent. Young people can't buy houses to live in those towns close to where they work because of the nature of the crisis, which your government seems to be failing to crack the nut of, shall we call it that?
No, to be fair, and I don't accept that. I think the government has made it a singular priority. I think the government, for the first time in the history of the state, have backed it up with substantial resources. 4 billion euro guaranteed year on year is not something to be dismissed. We are already seeing progress. Is there a job of work to do in terms of catch up? Absolutely, there is. Are there issues? And you know, we're coming out of 2 years of COVID, which significantly impacted, I suppose, in terms of builds, but we are, you know, we are seeing, you know, progress. We are seeing the money, again, as I say, even from a local authority point of view, there's a significant number of houses already planned from the local authority in Kerry, we'll say, between now and 2026. More than 1,400 houses have been planned. We've seen the highest level of commencements in the country, more than 28,450 commencements in the last 12 months. So I absolutely accept that, you know, we would wish that we could accelerate things even more quickly, but everything that can be done is being done, and resources okay. are being put in place. It will not happen overnight. It is a progressive, I suppose, you know, proactive approach that needs to be taken, and also recognising that it is no one single measure. You know, government has looked at a whole suite of measures, whether it is cost rental, whether it is shared equity, whether it's affordable housing or local authority housing.
Are you
housing.
Conscious that you know, time is running out, though, for you to convince your government to convince the country that you're on the right track on housing?
Well, I think when people are prepared to look at it in the round and they see the number of, you know, commencements that we've had this year, when they see the money that is being provided for singularly just for housing and the progress that has been made. And again, I will go back to the progress. I think it is a phenomenal tribute to Kerry County Council that we can actually say that more than 170 houses have been built and provided for by Kerry County Council in one single year. I think that's testament to the resources that are being put in place by government, to the priority that has been given by government, supported by local authorities, and that priority and that resourcing financially will continue. It will not happen overnight, you know, I accept that, but the commitment is there, the progress is there, the challenges will remain, but we are absolutely committed to working through each one of them.
Final point on a more emergent crisis, even if it can be more emergent than the housing crisis we have. We have an energy situation coming into the winter. We have a major row erupting on Friday evening between the country's grid operator describing the system to bring new generations to the grid as not fit for purpose. This is EirGrid, has detailed how heavily criticising the Commission for Regulation of Utilities. EirGrid saying since 2018, 650 megawatts of new power generation has withdrawn and failed to deliver capacity to the electricity grid. They're feeling that the CRU are not doing a good enough job. These are two of the organisations that are meant to be helping to provide a stable and steady flow of energy and electricity for us during the winter. This is a time of huge increase in prices. How worried should we be about what's going to happen when these two agencies are effectively fighting with each other?
Look, I think it is important that, you know, a cooperative and collaborative approach is taken in relation to all issues that are on our table. I've always believed that in relation to whether specifically within the education sector and, you know, outside of that. We must concede in the first instance that we do have a significant energy crisis at this point in time. That's, you know, very, very evident. There's no doubt, as I've said previously, in relation to other issues, it has been impacted, I suppose, by war in the continent of Europe. You know, it's an energy crisis that is not unique to Ireland.
But it's particularly made worse here by the fact that this government and the last government failed to act on warnings from EirGrid and the CRU to say, look, we're in trouble here. We need to increase our gas storage. We need to provide for more energy generation. We need to develop more power stations. And not enough was done, which has us, here we are, at the end of the line for gas in Europe. Almost no gas storage. And we're now looking at, and it's a developing story over the last number of weeks, a couple of months back, we've been told no chance of blackouts. Now we're being told it's when, if not if, according to some of the reports at the weekend.
Well, again, I would say to you, Gerry, you know, the position in which this country finds itself is not unique in the world. This is a situation that has been replicated around the world, and you know, I think we're very.
But my point is, we in particular have failed badly to get ready for this and have a backup plan. All evidence points to that situation. Like even in the most emergent development of this and the reaction to what's happened, let's say, since the war in the Ukraine, Germany has turned around and is building 5 LNG plants at record speed, led by a green minister. We're still scrabbling and rowing over one possible LNG plant that might be delivered in a couple of years' time. And in the meantime, we haven't done enough to back things up.
Well, again, I would say to you that, you know, government is more than conscious of this, you know, energy crisis in which the world finds itself. Specifically in terms of LNG, I think we have to be very clear. We're in a position now where every single option must be on the table. We need to look at every potential and possibility in terms of improving energy resources and availability.
Even though the Green Party still seems to be ideologically opposed to the idea, even with the crisis we're in, your government partners, led by Eamon
Ryan. I think, to be fair, the Taoiseach himself has said that all options must be looked at, all options must be on the table. I think we have to be very clear. The key issue was an issue of fracked gas. I think, you know, that issue of fracked gas must be taken off the table and can be taken off the table, even in terms of LNG. And I think then, when that is done and achieved, as the Taoiseach himself has said, I think we need to look at all options positively and proactively in terms of, you know, meeting the current challenges that we find ourselves in now. You know, you must meet the challenge of the day with the solution of the day. And therefore, I think, as I said, all opportunities and all avenues must be on the table in terms of addressing the current energy situation.
Are you concerned there may be blackouts this winter?
Well, Minister Eamon Ryan has said that he is confident that will not be the case, that they're working through the situation currently. I am confident that he will continue to do that. And again, as I say, recognising that, you know, we have had an unprecedented 2 years in terms of COVID. We have come out of COVID and we have, in an unprecedented situation, found ourselves, you know, in a war situation, something that we would have hoped never to see again in Europe. And all of these, you know, external factors are weighing heavily, not just on Ireland, but indeed, you know, internationally as well. But, you know, we meet the challenges as we find them. Government is committed to finding pathways forward. We're about the, you know, the work of government, and we will continue in that vein.
Okay, final brief questions on a separate issue, Minister. I'm conscious you've given us a lot of time this morning. A listener wants to know, can you ask the Minister, why are teachers or SNAs not paid until November for home-based summer provision? The working class also have children, teenagers go back to school who missed out on the back-to-school allowance and all other subsidies for their children. So can you address that this morning, the pay not till November?
In terms of the in terms of the summer provision, this year for the first time we actually put in place an online payment scheme, and so for the first time as it was uploaded on the system, the payment could be made. It is a matter for engagement with the schools and with the department that information would be uploaded as quickly as possible. We were very determined this year that payments would be made at an earlier point, and that has been, it is for that reason that we have put in place the online payment. If there are specific issues, I would ask that, you know, that they would be flagged with the department. But, you know, we have put considerable work into the summer provision scheme. We have had an unprecedented uptake, but it is my absolute determination that we will grow that, and there will be a full review of the summer provision programme. I want the maximum number of schools involved with the maximum number of staff for the benefit of the maximum number of students. And it has proved itself to be successful, but there is, you know, a body of work that means, you know, we can do more to make it accessible to more children and young people going forward as well. And we're committed to doing that.
Okay, Minister Norma Foley, thanks very much for talking to us in the programme this morning. That's Minister for Education Norma Foley speaking about a number of different issues, including housing, the energy crisis, and back to school, the issues surrounding that.